everyone, welcome to Brougham Baptist Church. We're so glad that you've joined us from home or wherever you are this morning. We just want to welcome you, invite you to stand with us now as we worship Jesus, our Prince of Peace and our Lord of Lords.
Let our praise.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our song. be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place.
Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they lay him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still. Shall pierce
Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, we worship you because you are great. You are the King of all kings. You are the Lord of all lords. You've said that you are the great I am. You are the eternal one without beginning and without end. We praise your name as we've sung. We praise you because you are Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. We praise you because you are Yahweh Jireh, the Lord our provider. You're the Lord our shepherd who guides us and keeps us. And so, Lord, we worship you for who you are, and we thank you that you allow us and you invite us to bring to you our requests and our needs. And so, Lord, we want to begin by thanking you for every medical professional, every worker in our NHS or in the healthcare systems around the world who are working tirelessly right now to deal with not only the coronavirus, but everything else that they have to deal with in an ordinary day. Lord, we pray that you'll strengthen them, keep them. We pray that any supplies that they need, such as protective equipment, will get to the front line and it will get there quickly. Lord, we want to thank you for our government and our politicians who also are working hard right now. We ask you to bless Boris Johnson and Matt Hancock and Rishi Sunak and the rest of the cabinet, Lord. Father, we thank you for our Queen and for the example that she sets as a woman of prayer, a woman who follows your way, Jesus, a woman who tells others about you. We pray, Lord, for our nation that it would turn to you. Since the hour of need is so evident right now, we pray that people will turn to you for help. Lord, we pray for those professionals who are seeking to find a cure for COVID-19. We pray for breakthrough. We pray for insight for them and success for their labor. Lord, we pray closer to home for our own communities, especially for those at the moment, Lord, who are on their own, perhaps seniors, those who are feeling lonely right now. Again, Lord, we pray that they would call out to you in the knowledge that you desire to be with them. Lord, you're wonderful. You're so amazing. Lord, we pray for those persecuted Christians, lastly, in so many nations around the world today. But Lord, I want to lift up one individual in particular, Pastor Isaac Palau, there in India, recovering after being severely beaten by extremists. And we know, Lord, that he is representative of thousands upon thousands of other Christians who are being persecuted today. And so, Lord, we pray that you would meet with them mightily. You would encourage them today, Lord, that they would meditate, think upon your word, that joy would well up within them, Father, with songs of worship and praise to you, in spite of their situation, in spite of what they're going through. Lord, that miraculously you would pour in grace upon grace, kindness upon kindness, that lifts their spirit. And that your joy today would be their strength. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you guys for leading us in that time of song worship, Caleb, Naomi. And I'm going to invite you now, all of you at home, to turn to Matthew chapter 8 with me. I wonder if you've ever slept through an alarm that you've set. There was an occasion when I'd been preaching out in America, and Esther and I had set an alarm, and the two of us slept right through it. In fact, I was suffering with such a heavy jet lag that I virtually slept through a whole day. And I was so disorientated when I woke up and looked at my time on my phone by the bedside that I thought we were still the day prior and that we'd actually missed our flight. And so I leapt up, called over to Esther and told her we needed to get up right away. We were late for our flight. And poor Esther, my wife, jumped up with a start. But thankfully, very quickly, I realized that we weren't in the States having to go to the airport. We were, in fact, in our own home, in our own room, and all was well. But I'd slept right through, the two of us had slept right through the alarm because we were so jet-lagged. Maybe that's never happened to you, but perhaps you can associate with having slept through an alarm. The account we're going to read today tells us that Jesus, he didn't sleep through an alarm, but Jesus was sleeping through a storm. And he'd been healing many people, so much so that crowds were gathering. And so he said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake, Lake Galilee. And a huge storm came up on the lake. And yet, Jesus was fast asleep. Let's read it together in Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 23. Open your Bible with me. Let's engage in God's word together. Pull it up on your phone, whatever you want to do. But let's read this together. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 23 says this. Then Jesus got into the boat with his disciples, and without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was, what? Sleeping. This storm had come without warning. How many times have storms come in our lives without any warning? We couldn't have anticipated them. We couldn't have planned for them. Who knew that coronavirus would do what it's done? It came without warning to almost all of us. And such is life. Many a time there'll be storms in life. And yet in the middle of this particular storm, Jesus is fast asleep. Verse 25, the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. They were fearful. And Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus wasn't afraid. Jesus wasn't worried about a storm. Why? Because he'd said, we're going over to the other side. We're going to cross this lake. And when Jesus says something, it will happen. When Jesus says he's going to do something, he'll do it. And then we read in verse 27, the men, the disciples, were amazed. I'm not surprised. And they asked each other, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Here were the disciples, petrified, panicking. And yet Jesus was fast asleep. Jesus was at complete peace. And when we find ourselves in the storms of life, and we all do, at one time or another, we all face storms in life. I want to encourage us this morning with three truths, three ways in which we can respond to the storms of life in faith. Not faith in self, not faith in government. Sure, they do a good job, but not putting our faith ultimately in the government. How we can put our faith in God. The first way we can do that is by remembering that God has power over every storm. I know that when we look at Scripture, we need to understand the imminence of God alongside the omnipresence of God, and we need to understand God's immediate control alongside his ultimate control. Understand all that. But ultimately, God is in complete control of every storm in your life and mine. The second truth that I want us to remember today that enables us to put our faith in Jesus through the storms is this: that fixing your eyes on Jesus leads to peace. In Mark's account of this same occurrence, Mark says that when Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, this is what Jesus said: "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." Jesus can speak peace into your heart and mine. Jesus can speak peace into our lives and into our situations and circumstances in which we find ourselves. But there's a question we need to ask, and it's this: am I looking at the size of the storm, or am I fixing my eyes on the one who can calm this storm? Am I fixing my eyes on the raging seas, or am I fixing my eyes on the one who can speak peace? The third and final truth that I want us to remember for our encouragement today, when we are seeking to put our faith in the one who can control every storm, the Lord Jesus, the third truth is this: Jesus is always in your boat. Isn't that a great thing to remember today? Isn't that a glorious truth? Jesus is always in your boat. He's always there to rescue us and to save us. Now, that's dependent. That is dependent on whether we have put our faith in him. Ephesians chapter 2 says that anyone who isn't in Jesus, anyone who hasn't put their faith in Jesus, is dead in their transgressions and sins, it says. We are all sinners. It's no use downplaying our sin and saying, "Oh, well, I lie, yes, but they're just white lies." No, God is holy. His standard is perfection. And so a lie to him is a lie. It's a sin. Let's call sin what it is. We were dead in our transgressions and sins, those of us who put our faith in Jesus, because Ephesians chapter 2 goes on to say this: we are saved by God's grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves, that's the gift of God. We're not saved by works, so no one can boast. If you're thinking that to be saved from situations in life, you just need to pray enough, or you just need to please God somehow enough, you need to give enough, you need to read your Bible enough, or whatever you think needs to be done in order to appease and please God, none of those things are sufficient. We're not saved by our works. The Bible is absolutely clear on that. We don't get to heaven by our good works. They're not good enough. We don't get into God's good books through our works. No, the Bible says this: we are saved by God's grace. That means his unmerited kindness. It means his undeserved love towards us. And how did he demonstrate that? He demonstrated it by dying in our place on the cross. I should have been nailed to that cross for my sins. You should have been nailed to the cross for your sins. And we should have suffered the wages of sin, which is eternal death. But God took our place on the cross. Jesus died there in your place and in my place, so that we wouldn't receive the wages of our sin, but we would be blessed with the gift of God, which is eternal life, abundant life with him. And the way we access that is the same way that the disciples accessed the calming of the storm. We turn to Jesus. We call on him. We put our complete trust in him. That's what faith is, to completely trust somebody or something. When it comes to our sin problem, we need to entirely trust what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And then we'll be saved. And even in the storms of life, we need to trust Jesus. And when we do that, we can sleep through the storm. There are neighbors around and about us all who are tearing their hair out with fear and panic. But that's not for you and me. As followers of Jesus, we're not to panic. We can know God's peace. And when we sleep through the storm, as it were, the people around and about us will say, "What is it about you? What is it that's different about you?" And then, as we're exhorted to do in Scripture, we can give an account for the hope that's within us. Well, that's all for today. I want to encourage you to join us again on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Tune in again, and then each Sunday we'll be here again at 10:30 a.m. And if you miss any of them, if you sleep through your alarm, you can tune in on the website, our website at bromham.org, or go direct to YouTube and the services will be on there. For the next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on how a cheerful heart is good like a medicine. And so here's what I'd like you to do, a little challenge, especially to the children who are watching. I'd like you to email in some jokes. And I'm not going to read all of them out, but I'll pick some of the best ones, and then I'm going to read them out as we laugh together, which is good like medicine. So email in some jokes, if you would. Send them to office@bromham.org. office@bromham.org, and then we're going to select some and read some of those out next Sunday. In the meantime, I want to bless you with a blessing that's taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. And there Paul says this: "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord," he says, "be with you all." Amen.